Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hello, freaky deekies. It is sex nerd Sandra on the podcast of the same name. And this week, oh my goodness, are you curious? Do you want more knowledge? Well, this is the episode for you. Every once in a while, I interview someone who has knowledge and skills and innovation in an area that I didn't even know was a thing. Didn't even know. Totally outside the realm of what I knew to be reality. And my goodness, today is no exception to that wonderment. Okay, so I interviewed someone named Miss Holly. In the episode, you'll hear about how I found her and stuff. But I just wanted to make sure you know that we're about to talk about, it's like How to Train Your Dragon, but for humans. But we also talk about dragon training. And this might seem a bit off the wall, but oh my God, it's fascinating. Now, the first half, we're talking about the ideas around using clicker training for dom-sub relationships, or just general relationships. The second half of this episode will be focused on tangible how-tos around clicker training. So just FYI, if you want to skip around. So there's that. And what else? Oh, so all this week, I've been thinking about last week's episode on consent. Yes means yes with Jacqueline Friedman. There's a few things I just need to process for a second. That the concept, I mean, there's so many good concepts in that she provides, but there's one, violating your own boundaries. I didn't even know that was a thing, but it's something that I've struggled with for a long time because sometimes I don't hear myself. I don't respect myself, and I will go ahead and do something that I don't want to do when everyone around me would respect me if I spoke up for my boundaries, and I just don't give myself that space. So that was really helpful, and listening back, it solidified that concept for myself. I don't know. What did you think of? What did you take away from that episode? That was something for me. And yeah, that's good. What else? I told you about the dragon and stuff. So recently I had a casual sex experience. Now, I used the casual sex concept lightly. Basically, it was someone that I didn't know that well. And I ended up catching the feelings. Now, I don't know if you listened to the episode a while ago called Crazy Love with Kara Santa Maria, but it was all about, I called on my friend Kara to talk about the neuroscience of love because I had had the brief sexual encounter that left me hungry and maddeningly in love with this person for days and days after the experience. And I was jonesing. I was really going through withdrawals. And recently I had a similar experience, and I remembered from the last time this happened several years ago that it would take me 3 days to purge the aggressive feeling that I'd met my soulmate. I needed to see them again. I was desperate for love and attention from them, and you know, all that crazy, like when I say crazy, like the high, the absolute high and reality distortion field of those chemicals and that flushed emotion. So I knew it would take about 3 days, and sure enough, about 2.5 days in, I started feeling a little more mellow about it, less immediate. Didn't need to pick up my phone and try and text them or something. So I was patient. But the thing that I acknowledged, and this took me back to the interview I had with Dr. Lisa Wade around hookup culture, where, and in case you listened to that episode, it was she had a great point about how casual sex can be kind and can be healthy. The issue oftentimes is that we as a society are taught to value masculine traits over feminine traits. And what's considered a masculine trait is to not be emotionally attached to someone. Now, it goes a lot deeper than that, but I was laughing at myself and just hitting my head against a wall because I was having the feelings of attachment, was totally aware that it was a natural phase for me and how I am sometimes after a casual sex encounter. And at the same time, shaming myself, going, you're being an idiot. You need to not care about this person. You need to not want this. Because I felt that was the correct way to have a midnight jaunt. I don't, you know, euphemisms, whatever. It's been several more days and I'm doing better, but I am fascinated at how much I shamed myself just for having feelings for someone, which is perfectly natural, for some people to have. So anyway, I just wanted to share, Anyway, moving on, this is a more kink-focused episode. Whether or not you're into this sort of thing, I just think it's really interesting psychologically, sensually, whimsically, and by golly, I learned a lot. So enjoy, go team fun, and high five. Yeah.
Welcome to the Sex Nerd Sandra Podcast.
Whoa, what are these kids doing in here? Hey, if you're under 18, go ask your mom. Now that we're alone, let's start the show.
Miss Holly.
Hello.
Of the Eagle Rock Coven.
No. Oh my, no.
I mean, okay, I'm excited that you're in my home, even though now you know the true nature of my life.
Let's call it quaint.
It's quaint and just covered in lots of confusing details.
So many dildos.
Okay, yeah, I was like, you know, we're just gonna have, yeah, there's a lot of, yeah, did you see that one over there?
Yeah, I like the, like, alien tentacle one, though. That one's really entertaining.
I like that you called it a dildo. It's just a tentacle, Holly. What you thinking about? What you think about?
Are you sure you didn't get it from that website? It's like all the weird...
Bad Dragon?
Yeah, Bad Dragon.
That is exactly where I got it. I didn't know it was a dildo.
Oh, whatever.
Oh, I thought I was hiding in plain sight.
That's what happens when you invite kinky people into your home.
That's right.
They know what your shit is.
You play Where's Dildo?
Oh man.
No, I'm really glad that you have time to hang out because I loved attending your class at DomCon this year.
Oh, thank you so much.
You announced during the class, it was called Clicker Training, right?
Yes, Clicker Training. Click Happy.
Click Happy.
Yeah. Trademark. Click Happy.
Click Happy. TM. It was the end of the day. I was really fried. I'd attended a lot of classes, and I dragged my partner in crime that day into that class. Like, we still need to do this. And I'm so glad I did, because you are just whimsy, and like, I like when people are just truly thrilled with the stuff that they're conveying.
Yeah.
And you seemed really excited about it.
I am really excited about it. It's super sexy.
Super sexy?
Super sexy. Like, if your brain is your biggest sex organ, the clicker is like a vibrating dildo for your brain.
Oh, because... Okay. Oh, we should probably... Let's back up here. What is clicker training in a nutshell?
Oh, in a nutshell. All right, so when we're clicker training, we are modifying behavior by rewarding positive behavior. So that means that we're using the clicker to click and to mark those moments, the instant when someone has done a correct behavior. Now, in this particular case, we should back up again because the someone is a submissive in this case. Because this is a submissive, dominant sexual type of behavior modification.
And I'm going to back up even further, Miss Holly, because I know all about clicker training because I have a dog and I took him to classes.
Yeah.
And this is originally how people train dogs. This is a technique for training dogs,
yes,
right?
Yes, it's a technique for training dogs. It's a technique for training dolphins at SeaWorld.
Oh.
It is a technique for training parrots. You can go on YouTube and find parrots being clicker trained. But guess what? It works super well on humans.
But the velociraptors in Jurassic Park, not so much.
Oh my gosh, that was totally wrong.
Really?
Yeah, Chris Pratt, I love him to death, but no, that was wrong. That is not how you clicker train. He's just like randomly click.
He's like, Blue, get back.
Back off. Click. No, it's terrible. I was literally like punching my husband next to me like, stop. No, make it stop.
Was he cracking up?
Yeah. They were dying.
Oh my gosh. So the way I understand it is that you click, and I happen to have one from my dog training days that I've hidden from myself. Oh, here it is. And so it's like, if I go sit and he sits, I make that sound.
Yeah.
Okay. And he's really good with like, I don't know. The clicker wasn't our thing for the dog.
Right.
Like, it was fine, but.
But now when you train the dog, there's an additional step, because when the dog sits and you make the clicker sound, mm-hmm. then you immediately give the dog a treat, right?
Right.
And so when you're training dogs, the click marks the behavior you want, and it gives you an additional couple of seconds to grab that treat mm-hmm. out of your pouch and shove it in their face.
Right.
Okay. We don't have to do this with people. Bonus. Because people are easier to train than dogs, it turns out.
And that's really fucked up.
Yeah.
Are you just like dripping with power surges throughout the day? Like, don't make me trick or clean you, guy at the DMV.
I mean, it is a dangerous weapon.
Uh-huh.
You are brainwashing people. Mm-hmm. But in the world of BDSM, we have a very important word called consent.
Mm-hmm.
And clicker training works best, really, when you have consent
mm-hmm.
From the person whose behavior you're modifying,
mm-hmm.
because then their treat
mm-hmm.
is that they get this rush in their brain because they know that they did something right. So that's kind of hard to do with someone who doesn't want it,
mm-hmm.
right?
I mean,
so for the person that really wants it, then they're having a more pleasurable experience, a
right.
more stimulating experience.
So people who are submissive, and when I think of that, I think of they get off and enjoy when their partner or dom is pleased.
Yes.
And they hear that sound. They get a rush of, yeah, I did a good job.
Yeah. And especially if they're service-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, if they're a pleaser. Because mm-hmm. there are different types of submissives.
Mm-hmm.
But that pleaser type,
mm-hmm.
It
I'm not
really
looking
works.
At your screen. I'm looking at your clicker. Sorry. We're just saying. Although, if you, you know.
Oh, you know. Whatever.
This is a pants optional zone. You know.
Thank the gods for that. But the clicker works on all humans.
Mm-hmm.
It just works best on those submissive
mm-hmm.
and service submissive humans because they're seeking approval. They're seeking that click.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So really, I mean, I remember in your class,
mm-hmm.
and I highly recommend if you're in the LA area taking a click happy class from Ms. Holly because she's fantastic.
Click happy.
You said that the click is extra pleasurable because it sounds like the breaking of bones.
Yeah, right. it does. And so it triggers the deep part of our brain, the amygdala, that lizard part.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is in a lot of brain research, we talk about the amygdala being a place where you can train fear response.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing is that you can also train pleasure response.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, when you hear that click sound, there is the deep primal part of yourself that is very satisfying because it's like bone snapping.
So,
which is a sound that most humans get off on, whether you know it or not.
So I know that the part of why the clicker is helpful with dogs or humans mm-hmm. is because you can press it faster than you can say good job.
Yeah.
Right? Like you can just click, click, yeah. click all day long. Could you do something different where instead of you click and you make a sound, it like emits a really nice smell that the person likes, like fresh baked cookies, or hits, gives power to like a prostate massager that goes when they do something good?
Yeah. The speed in which this click sound goes into your brain is the fastest input that you can get. Smell takes longer.
Mm-hmm.
Touch does work, but yeah, I mean, unless you're doing like genital stimulation, the flip side of it is if you had something like an e-collar or something that delivered a painful stimulation, that would be kind of the flip side of positive reinforcement. That would be negative.
Right. And that's like old school dog training stuff where we used to punish dogs for doing bad things. But now it's more about positive reinforcement.
Right. Although if we're going to get nerdy and technical, if you shock the dog or the person, I prefer to talk about people. Totally.
I'm just trying to. Yeah. Right. Because, yeah, we're going to.
Now, some people love puppy play. And so they like being thought of like a dog.
Mm-hmm.
But for other people that like kind of creeps them out. So. Mm-hmm. You know, I try to gauge, like, when I'm working with a class, sometimes I work with all puppy play or all pony play people.
Mm-hmm.
People that like to be ponies.
It's a whole new layer.
It is. And so they really like the dog analogies, but other people like to, you know, stay in the human realm.
It's
more comfortable.
Because they're thinking about boners and stuff.
They're thinking about boners. And when they think about, you know, Fido, it kills it for them.
Interesting. Because, number one, I am a bit of a puppy.
Oh,
but it's not sexual. It's more of a playful thing. Yeah. So I still don't cross those. And two, I think when I interview, when I host, when I teach, I'm not in boner mode. So it doesn't even occur to me.
Well, you know, what's interesting is that a lot of this clicker training for people, while it can be sexual, what I'm finding is that couples are coming to me because they want their relationship to deepen or they want their lives to improve. So it's not necessarily about boners all the time. It's like, how do we live better together in a dominant submissive relationship? So that's kind of fun. And I mean, I think that's overall sexy, but I have a domestication fetish. So,
you know,
like I want my domestic life to be very sexy.
I'm fascinated by that. Please, any references or examples in this talk about to reference your domestication fetish, please do.
Okay.
And I'm fascinated. I get asked a lot, like, how'd you get into this? And I find that not that interesting in terms of my story because I find sex to be such a core thing, a core human need.
Yeah.
That I'm like, because I'm a human. But when I told you that I don't tend to ask that question, you were like, oh, there's some juice there. And so now I'm asking you.
Like how I got into.
Yeah. It doesn't sound like you used to be a dog trainer.
Oh, no, I totally was.
Oh, you were.
Yeah, no, my background is actually all like up and proper and the AKC, if we're going to go dogs. So that's the American Kennel Club. I do raise and train dogs.
Oh,
so the crossover here, I've been in the kinky fetish community since I became legal, let's say, officially.
Like 18 or like, congratulations, you're a citizen.
No, 18. Okay. Let's say 18. Yeah. And so I've been playing and experimenting both as a submissive and a dominant in that lifestyle for a while. And then I've been raising and training dogs since I was a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I had some friends in the kink community who do a lot of puppy play. And actually, he's like a pet dragon.
Ooh.
Which is pretty cool. Yeah, so that's
Game of Thrones.
Yeah, totally, right? Peter Dinklage. but they asked me if I could develop this curriculum for them. Because they really love the idea of clicker training for him as a pet dragon. And that just set off so many fireworks in my brain, and I was like, yes, there is so much crossover.
Wait, so you basically are developing clicker training for humans, or have developed this?
Yeah, now there is clicker training that's happening, especially for children, especially for autistic children, okay, that's being developed right now.
Is that ethical?
You know, I think it's trying to find a different way to communicate, especially with kids that have a really hard time communicating. So, I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence about it. Mm-hmm. My brother's autistic, mm-hmm, so I grew up in that world, surrounded, mm-hmm, by a lot of people with disabilities. And so I'm pro communication, but I do really like the idea of consent. Mm-hmm. So I like using clicker training more in this adult consenting, mm-hmm, sexual kind of way.
Yeah. And so it is being used in a non-sexual way for, yes, humans.
Yeah.
But do you have like two other buddies in this on the globe that also clicker train kinky and it did so separately? Like how monkeys started washing yams in different parts of the world,
right,
at the same time?
The photographic camera was developed in three different countries at the exact same time in,
really,
the same year. Yeah. Yeah, huh. Brazil, the UK, and France or Germany. Someone's, mm-hmm, going to correct me on that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the internet does that.
The internet will tell me if I'm wrong. As far as I know, mm-hmm, there's no one else doing this. So there is no one else who has developed clicker training in a sexual way for submissive-dominant relationships.
It's amazing.
I feel like a pioneer.
Yeah.
Going out into the wilderness with my clicker.
How's that dragon doing?
He's doing so well.
Yeah?
Okay. So, example. Part of his world at home is that he's supposed to keep the place tidy. That's, mm-hmm, part of his relationship. He has a female dominant. Mm-hmm. They are engaged to be married. Mm-hmm. And he is her submissive. Mm-hmm. And he's not really good at keeping the place tidy. And the biggest thing was leaving his cell phone and his keys, mm-hmm, just in random places. And she created a dish, like, you were supposed to put it here. And he still was not achieving this goal. And so we worked with the clicker on developing a positive pathway for, mm-hmm, him putting his cell phone in the proper place. And now he does. And, the response from him and from a couple of other people that I've been working with is, you know, you have changed my life, which I did not set out to change lives, but, uh-huh, I'm really happy that this is working for people, in terms of changing their life and making their home life better,
yeah,
making their kink life better.
I'm like, how can I use clicker training to be better? And it's, I feel like, every time I use the word like, say or but then if I were to say it and you clicked, that would be negative reinforcement. So I don't know how you'd go about.
Oh, we have to go back to being nitpicky for a moment.
Okay.
So, if you zap someone, mm-hmm, that's actually called positive punishment.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that you do to someone, whether it's positive reinforcement or positive punishment, that's positive. If you take away something, it's negative.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that makes more sense.
Yeah. So if, like, you did something bad and I ignored you, that would be
negative reinforcement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's just being
nerdy. Oh, yeah. I was like, oh, let's go back to being nippy. Yeah. I like details. bring them on.
Right.
So.
But yeah. So in this case, if you said like or and you wanted to stop doing that, it would probably be more effective to have someone zap you or slap you every time you said it. Which, if you would like someone to volunteer, I mean, I'd be really happy.
What if I had a stack of fives and every time I did it, I had to hand you a $5 bill?
Sure. Whatever's
my money.
Whatever's painful for you.
Okay. Make it 20s.
Right. Make it
20s. That would be so painful.
That would be painful, right?
Yeah.
And that would modify your behavior.
Yeah.
Right. So when we're talking about behavior modification, it is, you know, being conscious of your actions. Mm-hmm. So it's just bringing awareness to what you're doing. If you have to hand a 20 to someone, I mean, you're really conscious of saying like, yeah, or mm-hmm, right?
Absolutely.
Now, on the other hand, if you wanted to go the positive route, mm-hmm, if you completed a sentence without saying those words, I would click. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we could build up. And if you said a paragraph without saying like or I would click. And so we would build from there.
I so want to do
That's the positive side you do. Yeah, right. That's, it's sexy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there's something sexy about it.
I just can't believe, I believe the way you said, oh, you could just have someone slap you every time you did it. I've never thought of that. Just somebody
slapping you
every time I said like incorrectly.
Yeah, well.
Wow.
That's the fun part of thinking like a kinkster.
So, have you, it sounds like you are a dominant.
Yeah, it sounds like that, doesn't it?
Kind of does.
You know.
How do you identify?
I have always identified as a switch,
mm-hmm.
which means that I like to be dominant in some areas of my life, and I like to be submissive in some areas of my life. But I do lean more naturally towards being a dominant, mm-hmm. especially my external self.
Mm-hmm.
So, right, like how you present yourself to the world.
Mm-hmm. Like outside the home.
Outside the home, yeah. Or if we're going with astrology... to get nerdy again, your sun sign is like the core of who you are.
Okay.
And your rising sign is like how you relate to the world.
Okay.
So my sun sign is a Pisces, so I'm all like emotional and emo and arty on the inside, and I think that's more my submissive self.
Uh-huh.
And then my rising sign is a Libra, and I'm very like communicative and outgoing and mm-hmm. vivacious and all that in the world. So for someone to be able to access that submissive side of me, like I have to have a lot of trust with that person. And, yeah. So.
That seems pretty natural. It seems good.
Yeah, it does. So with all that said, yeah, I'm definitely more dominant mm-hmm. out in the world. And a lot of people like that aspect of me. And, so the like people pleaser part of myself responds mm-hmm. more to that. And it's really crafted my play style in the community as being more and more dominant.
Wait, your people... Oh, because people like when you're dominant. You're people-pleasing, even though we think of that as more of a subby trait.
Right. But it happens with dominance a lot, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because, honestly, like, most of us want positive reinforcement.
Mm-hmm.
And this just kind of brings us back to clicker training. You know, whether it's social conditioning or whether it's personal, most of us are seeking a positive reaction from our fellow humans. And so...
Nitpicky question.
Totally.
Even though sounds like negative reinforcement is like when something is taken away. But what if the thing taken away is something you don't want? Like, let's say it's a bunch of clothespins attached to your chest that are hurting you, and every time you do something right, you get a clothespin taken away. Would that technically be negative reinforcement or positive reinforcement?
Well, that depends on the person. Like, do you want that pain?
No.
Okay, so then it's negative.
That's negative because it's being taken away, even though it hurts, relief.
I don't know. Have you had clothespins on you? Because it hurts more when they're taken away than when they're put on.
I don't experience that.
Really?
Yeah. Nipple clamps, the clothespins.
You experience a euphoria when they come off?
I'm like, fucking thank God.
Oh, okay. Well, then that would be positive for you.
Okay. Yeah. But the experience would be positive, but the direction of the thing happening is moving away from me. So it sounded like that was...
Yeah, but it's not about...
If a slap is positive.
Right, because it's an action.
Mm-hmm.
But there's an action being taken when that clothespin is taken off of you. That's an action.
So it's action versus inaction, the direction. Okay.
So the inaction would be we don't touch the nipple clamps.
Okay.
The action would be we take them off.
Okay. Yeah? If you slap the nipple clamps so that they hurt more, then.
Yeah, that's definitely actions. That sounds like fun.
Ooh, a little bit of a sadist,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Pain is fun. Pain is fun.
Pain can be fun. I mean, I'm a bit of a sadist.
Yeah.
I haven't really explored it that much.
Really?
Yet. Yeah. It's a newer thing.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah. Yes.
It's very enjoyable.
I have a question, Miss Holly.
Yes.
If we were to ever be friends, do I have to believe in astrology?
No, not to be friends.
Okay.
To be lovers, yes.
Okay.
I have like different circles.
I'm okay being in the friend zone.
Okay. You don't believe in astrology? No. That's interesting. We can go into that in a different podcast if you like.
That's right, because you teach sex magic classes.
I do. I teach sex magic classes.
I know. There's so many things.
It's so nerdy.
And not EDMR, but ASMR. ASMR.
Yeah, we should whisper it. ASMR.
ASMR.
Right.
Paint those pretty little trees.
Yeah.
This is how I put on my makeup.
Yeah, I'm actually thinking about doing Miss Holly's XXX ASMR. Where I do like whisper like, you've been a very bad boy. Or for the girls, you've been a very bad girl.
Like, is it like a podcast or is it like a video?
It's audio. Or I mean, I think we could do visual too, but I definitely want to start with audio. So I think a podcast would be great to start.
Like webcamming, but with whispering.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be hot. It'd be hot for me. I don't know. Some people, a lot of people with ASMR, if they start to masturbate, they lose their ASMR tingles.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So they just have to be really
so
frustrated?
You either do one or the other. Mm-hmm. I am not one of these people. I have ASMR, so when I hear whisper and tinkly sounds, I get this great cascade of shimmers in my brain. And
do you? Is it weird if I just? It's kind of non-consensual if I just start whispering at you.
Yeah, kind of.
It's like fucked up. Yeah, because when people find out some of my interests or turn-ons,
they'll just start using it against
and
you.
And I'm like, this is non-consensual. now you're just creepy.
Yeah, but I'm sitting in your home. I think it's okay.
No, it's walking through the door doesn't consent to me turning
mind raping you.
Yeah. Although now that you're saying that, I'm like, seems like you're
or maybe
just trying
I have
to find
a mind rape fetish. Oh, I don't know. Maybe I do. Maybe that's what the clicker training is all about. It's just about mind rape.
So non-consensual, non-consent.
Because oh my gosh, no consent's good.
Consensual.
I'm not having extreme ASMR reaction from you doing your whisper voice.
Now I feel rejected.
Maybe you need to work on it. Maybe you need to work on it.
Do I need to? Maybe I need to talk. It's like how much air? It's sort of like an air valve. You can.
It is, and it's also way better if you have headphones on. So you just saying it sitting across from me isn't as powerful
as being like in your ear.
As being in your ear,
right? Yeah. Right.
But there is totally a crossover because the click in clicker training.
Your click is so much louder than mine.
I know. My click's bigger than yours.
Actually, at the training, we all got the ones that you have.
Yeah.
I'm really sound sensitive, and so that was like
too much
for me.
You have the cat one. That's for cats.
Oh, well, I hate cats. I don't like it now.
No, kitties are okay.
They're fine, I guess.
You can clicker train a cat.
Oh, no, I don't believe in astrology, and I don't like cats. You sound like a cat person.
I have four dogs and two cats, so I'm an animal person. And I like humans.
You're a switch.
I like humans. I'm a switch in my cat world. I'm like a pagan poly switch who loves everything. Like I'm pansexual. I'm just like give it all. I want it all.
All of it. You're married. And have a domestic fetish.
Yeah, domestication fetish.
Can you just define that for me, like?
I think that having a domestic home life is sexy, and there are elements of being domestic that are sexy.
Oh, I see that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, getting married all on its own, like, had a level of sexiness to it. Like, oh, now we're married. But then I'm in a poly relationship, so I have a pretty unique poly triad, because our third partner is not a sexual member of our triad, so he's my best friend. And we grew up together, yes, and we're magical working partners, and he self-identifies as gay, and he's not one of our sexual partners, but he makes all the life decisions.
All the life decisions?
Yeah, you know, like when you're gonna go for a walk, and what you're gonna eat tonight.
Like daily life decisions, not like, you're gonna have a baby now.
No, we're making all that too. So we're a family.
Okay.
We're making all the big decisions together.
I see.
We're just not sexual partners.
Mm-hmm. So does your third make the decisions for both of you?
No, we all have equal weight.
Oh, I
in those
see.
Big decisions.
It's a three-person.
No, I'm not that submissive. No, I'm definitely the most dominant in that relationship.
Got it.
With both of them. Yeah.
Oh, what a beautiful triad.
Yeah.
If it works, right?
Exactly. I know. You just have to find your joy. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah.
A domestication fetish. I mean, there is a sex, and I've noticed that it can be sexy. Like, I think that getting married is one of the kinkiest things you can do.
It's totally kinky.
You're
binding yourself to
someone. It's basically a collaring. It's like an eternal collaring ceremony.
Yeah. What is this ring? It is a collar on your finger.
Yeah. It's pretty. Oh, then, because I've never wanted to get married, and then once I realized, I was like, oh, that's hot.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. So it's not like, oh, I want you to dress up in a butler outfit and serve me tea. This is just in all the just general house domestic chores and things. There can be a
And I think that's probably why it, you know, lends itself to this clicker stuff and maybe the puppy fetish stuff. And that is about like creating a happier home.
Mm-hmm.
That right. I want my little world when I go home. I want it to be as perfect as possible.
Perfect.
I just want it to feel good, right?
Okay, so how has clicker training improved your life and your relationships? Like, is this something you integrate personally? Because you're also a teacher and you share this with the world.
Yeah, I do. So I've worked some clicker training with my husband. I don't work clicker training with my other partner. Mm-hmm. As I said, we're not in a sexual relationship and he's very dominant. So that's not happening. Mm-hmm. But my husband's pretty submissive to me and we have worked some clicker training. It's especially awesome for moments when other communication is difficult. Like, let's say when your partner's going down on you and you want to communicate when they have hit the perfect spot.
Yeah.
Okay. So you can click. You can click.
Then you can velociraptor the fuck out of it. Like, yeah, blue.
Yeah, you totally when you hit orgasm. But if you're really trying to hone it in to like, this is what feels good to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Clicker training's great because one of the basic aspects that I teach is that we talk too much. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm saying this like in a podcast, which sounds ridiculous because here we are talking, but
we're not trying to have sex with each other right now.
Not yet. But when we're working with a partner and we're trying to achieve a goal, sometimes words get in the way. Actually, a lot of times words get in the way. Mm-hmm. And whether that goal is the perfect orgasm or that goal is, you know, having a clean house, I think that words get in the way. And so when we take the words out and instead we're waiting for the person to do the right thing and they know that we're waiting for them to do the right thing and they're waiting to hear that click sound, all of a sudden your senses are heightened and you're working together to try to find this goal.
It's like playing Hungry, Hungry Hippos. Oh, wait, no. Or what's the crocodile one where you push the teeth in and then it might snap your finger?
Right.
But like,
which one is it?
I was thinking, positive relationship, sure. Like, let's get into, like, orgasm territory. And that was brilliant. For, you know, of course, you could just click. Now, I think of clicker training as something like, oh, today we're going to learn how to, I don't know, like, some of the examples you gave were about, like subby position, body positioning.
Sure, yeah.
So could I just go on a date with somebody I'm dating and just every time they do something that I like generally, I can just click so that they know all the moments that are happy for me? Or is it more effective when you're like, and now I am, we're going to work on.
I think it's always more effective when you take time, specific time, and put it aside to work on something with your partner. You're telling them that you care about them more and that you really want to work on something. Now, that might not be your style. So yeah, you could be out on a date with your clicker at a restaurant because that sounds like fun, right? Uh-huh. And click all the moments that make you happy. I don't know that that is going to create necessarily a specific effect. Mm-hmm. And so getting down to the nitty gritty again, like, what I have found successful is if we really dial it down to, I want this behavior from you. Mm-hmm. And then you do take the time to work on that behavior.
So what are some common things that people want to have happen in their relationships?
Okay. So you talked about positioning. Mm-hmm. So in the kink world, we have a lot of bondage. We have a lot of impact play, like spanking and things like that. And it's really important that people are in, and by people, I mean submissives, are in the
correct... Yeah, we're people too.
Yeah, right. Are in the correct positions or are doing things correctly. Mm-hmm. So you can work on, you know, getting your submissive into the correct all fours position or relaxing their body. That's actually step one for me, is always creating a relaxed trigger. Mm-hmm. Oh,
Trigger.
Right. Okay. So this is important.
Okay.
Okay. So you have to create a trigger for the response. Mm-hmm. You have to establish that.
Is the trigger the sound of the click? No.
No. So the click is the mark.
Okay. So there. Okay. Let's go. Okay.
We should have like started with this part.
Okay. But. So well, now we're going. Okay. We are now segueing into the, how does one clicker train a person? Yeah. So there's a trigger. There's a click.
And then there's a reward.
There's a reward. Or the click is called the mark.
The click marks it. Yep.
Trigger, mark, reward.
Yes.
But you said that the click itself is the reward.
Okay. So Yeah, that's a subtlety in humans because the click, the reward is actually the dump of serotonin in your brain.
Ah, okay.
Okay, this is like when you're playing a video game, you unlock an achievement,
Drugs.
Drugs in your brain. But it's also, the reward is also knowing that you did the right thing.
Got it.
Now, you can pair that reward with something else positive. But let's back it up. So the first thing you want to have is your trigger. So whether you say a word like kneel, okay? And I want a specific kneel. I want them, when I say kneel, I want a kneel with the knees open and the hands behind their back and their eyes looking at me. Okay, that's a, like a really complicated thing. But that's what I want when I tell my submissive to kneel. So I'm going to teach them that when I say the word kneel, they're going to go into that position. We can talk about, there's a couple of ways to get there. When they do it correctly, I'm going to make the click in the moment that it happens. Okay, you have to do it in the moment that it's right. So this is really about being nitpicky. You have to click the correct moment.
Can we think of something that's verbal or something that I can do where people can hear? Like, can we just like make this present now?
Sure.
I'm not trying to trick you into training me.
No.
But I'm consenting to like, or like a sound or phrase or something that you want me to do and then.
Sure. Okay. So this is what we call warm conditioning, where I'm going to tell you to do something.
Okay.
And then you're going to do it. And when you do it right, I'm going to mark it.
All right.
Okay. So I would like you to yawn.
Ooh. That was fake.
I would like you to do a realistic yawn. Okay. That was right.
I did well, you guys.
You did well.
Okay. Okay. Now I'm crying.
Now, the yawning made you cry or doing it right made you cry?
The yawning.
Okay. So when I clicked, then afterwards, I said something positive. Okay, so the reward was two things. You smiled when I clicked because you knew you did it right. So that was your brain chemicals dumping into your head saying, yay, you did it right. But then in addition to that, I said, you did it right. So say something like yes or good or you did it right is a really good way to punctuate and emphasize. So that's also in the reward category.
Yes.
Yes.
You did it right. That all sounds kind of patronizing.
That's part of the fun.
Okay.
So, okay.
Can you
so,
be like, good boy?
Right. Okay. You can. All so right. If you have chosen to be a submissive, especially with this style of training, part of what you want is for someone to tell you what to do. If you don't want someone to tell you what to do, do not submit to clicker training because that is what this is all about. Now, one of the subtleties is that the best way to achieve behavior modification is if the submissive comes up with it on their own.
Right.
Okay.
I mean like, hey, babe, maybe you should get me to yawn like that. Like I have an idea.
Okay. Yeah. That's one way if they like bring it up. But another way is the whole school of thought called cold shaping. So let's say we've set aside some special time for training, but we don't have an agenda set. Well, the submissive doesn't have an agenda set, but the dominant does. Okay. And so the submissive and the dominant stand there and the submissive knows they're supposed to do something and they don't know what it is.
All right.
Okay. So they're going to start throwing a bunch of behaviors.
Okay. So we both know you're like, hey babe, it's time some time for clicker training. Okay.
Right. And now actually, because I'm trying to eliminate saying words so much, I use my clicker as a symbol. So I will put it out or I will show it to them as a visual cue saying, hey, we're going to go do this instead of, you know, saying clicker train time now. Just be like.
So when they see that on the kitchen table.
Yeah, they know it's time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right. So then we go into training mode. And if I'm cold shaping, I'm just going to stand there and wait. And this can take a while. Because the poor submissive is trying to figure out, what the hell does she want from me?
Yeah, I'm kind of sitting here like, oh, are we going to do something? Does she have an idea?
Oh
like,
my
are we cold shaping right now?
What do we have to do, right? Yeah. And they'll start what we call throwing behaviors. So we call that in dog training and people training. So they'll start like doing stuff.
I'm jazz handing a little bit right now.
Do I want jazz?
I feel like I'd immediately start Charlestoning. Like,
well, okay. So my submissive would probably do something like going into all fours or going onto their knees. Something I've already taught them how to do.
Okay. I'm yawning.
You're yawning.
Here I am.
That's not what I want from you. Okay. No. And eventually, it depends on how long, how willing you are to wait, how patient you are, but eventually, usually, they will do what you ask, what you want them to
do. Yeah. Like, how do they guess it? Like, what do you...
Well, you know, we aren't as mysterious as we think we are. So let's say that, you know, I've been, like, hankering to use a new butt plug on my submissive.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you do.
You do.
And so they know about this. Mm-hmm. And so then maybe that's in the back of the brain and eventually they get on all fours. Okay. And so I don't need them to achieve the perfect result in the first moment. In cold shaping, what I'm doing is I'm rewarding steps. Okay. So, like, if they got on their knees, that would be pretty close to all fours. Mm-hmm. So I would reward that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd break them out of it and have them do it again. And this time when they got on all on their knees, I wouldn't reward it. I would wait until they figured out what they have to do
you're
next.
You're bridging to what?
Right, you're bridging.
So how do you get them out of it? Are you, like, up?
Yeah, or release.
Release.
I usually have a word that we've all agreed on that is a release word.
Mm. Yeah. I like how efficient this is.
Oh, isn't it sexy? I love efficiency.
Yeah.
It turns me on.
Mm, industrial revolution.
Mm. Sexy smog. But it really, it really is sexy, I think, for people that like to be in charge and like to have things go right. Mm-hmm. Like, I want things to be efficient. I want things to be correct. That's sexy for me as a dominant, for sure.
Yeah, I identify with that. There's definitely, I feel like in some of my relationships, there's been a bit of like, maybe I should have just cold shaped them.
Yeah. But they would have had to consent to it.
And they would have been fine with that.
Yeah.
I just didn't know to do this.
Right. Nobody knew until now.
This is the moment. Really, this I can see how this could be more for general relationship training.
Yeah, I know. Like, instead of going to the rabbi, like, people should come to me.
Seriously. Oh, man. You realize you could totally be, like, a relationship life coach, clicker trainer.
Yeah, that's kind of what it's turning into.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because I feel like a couple could both take turns doing training sessions with each other for certain.
You could. I would be concerned, to use the concerned word, about resentment, because if you have not everyone is accepting of whether they are a dominant or a submissive in their relationship. So if you have a relationship where someone has not acknowledged that they're the submissive, they could have a really hard time going one way or the other. Like, for me, I don't want anyone to clicker train me. I'm really dominant in that way. Don't clicker train me. Okay. I want to be the trainer.
Got it.
Yeah. So I think, I don't know, like, it would be interesting to explore to see if there were switchy people that could train each other. But I think that it's going to be a lot more successful if you have one person set as the trainer and one person set as the receiver or the pet.
All right. Makes sense. I'm a little confused because, okay, you said that there would be a trigger, often a word, like kneel, and then your mark, which is the click.
Yep.
And then possibly reward, which could be verbal along with the mind drugs.
Yes.
Peanut M&Ms work for me too.
Right.
But then you mentioned about the dragon and his dominant, how it was just about leaving his keys and wallet around. So does that mean that the dom has to just in life always be using a trigger word?
No. So you can, this is what you're using when you are training. And then you fade it out. You can, or you don't have to. Like, I can always say kneel and they can go into that kneel position. In the example of the dragon submissive, they were establishing pathways in the brain that would, so he will have this rush of endorphins whenever he puts his cell phone in that dish, whether she's around or not.
So the trigger was for that was being used during the training session.
Yes.
To go through the motions of him placing it in the dish.
Okay. And what happened was then, you know, like the next day he went to put his cell phone down in a random spot. Mm-hmm. And because, I mean, we had worked on it for like a half an hour the day before, he went, oh yeah, I'm not supposed to do that. Went over, put it in his dish, had the happy brain chemicals and was like, I win all on his own. Right. And that made his life better.
So how is this dangerous? This seems like really useful.
Well, it's totally brainwashing. So that's super dangerous. It's like,
I don't know enough about brainwashing to know.
Yeah. No, it's a weapon. Please use it responsibly. But then, you know, sex pheromones are a weapon too. So mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think that's why in my classes, I really emphasize consent and also the idea that, you know, couples should create a plan together on what they want this to achieve.
What are the dangers? Is it just clicker training somebody for something that they don't want to do? I mean, because, okay, it's like, yeah, sure, honey. Let's use, clicking is great for any of this butt stuff we want to try out. Like,
yeah, but you don't really want to do it. Is that the subtext?
No, I'm just, okay, like, the conversation is like, yeah.
What's the danger? I think there's a couple of different things to watch out for. Mm-hmm. It's addictive. So that could be good and bad, I guess.
Addictive for the person getting the brain chemicals?
Yeah.
Okay.
And addictive perhaps for the trainer as well. Mm-hmm. But definitely addictive for the person getting the brain chemicals. I mean, we know that gaming addiction is real.
Got it.
Okay. So that's, if you become addicted to this process and then you break up with your trainer, oh my gosh, like you can't really click yourself. So there's right. that. Could you be conditioned to do something that you don't want to do? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you totally could. Mm-hmm. So that's dangerous. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially paired with you want to please with the person, but you don't really want to do it. But then they keep clicking every time you're making them happy. Like, is that how it kind of goes into that?
Yeah, I think that that's why you have to have really clear communication about your boundaries. About, you know, what you're really consenting to do and not do.
So while you could use this for getting somebody to start to like or tolerate something that they really don't want to do, mm-hmm. it's more helpful to make things more efficient, to create shorthand and to create new and better habits.
Yeah, and I think it's really an efficient way for a couple to achieve goals together. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, like...
Sexy goals. Come on. Throw out some sexy goals.
Sexy goals.
What sexy goals are there?
Oh, I definitely want my submissives to be able to take a certain level of pain mm-hmm. without squirming. Mm-hmm. And so, that's
so
sexy
it's
for
the
me.
Lack of moving that you want.
Yeah, like, I want them to hold their position when I hit them with stuff.
Uh-huh. And they're totally consenting to all the hitting. They just...
They are completely consenting. Yeah. They love the hitting. The hitting mm-hmm. gives them boners. You know, uh-huh. they love it. And what's hard is sometimes holding still or holding that position. Mm-hmm. So clicker training is a great way to teach people, okay, I'm actually going to have a more pleasurable experience if I hold still and take mm-hmm. this.
Okay.
that's a sexy goal. other sexy goals would be... to not orgasm.
Ooh.
So orgasm denial. Mm-hmm. So you can basically, there's a couple different ways you can do this. You can click for every time you get someone close to an orgasm and then they don't come. Mm-hmm. Or if you're working with some kind of chastity device and mm-hmm. they're doing things that please you, whenever mm-hmm. they put on the chastity device or something like that, you can click. Mm-hmm. But maybe that's another podcast too, chastity.
Hey,
subjects.
We're on board. Yeah. How about for people who are a bit more, I mean, more run of the mill stuff, like
sure.
oral sex and
yeah.
naughty, maybe some dirty talk and, you know, light spanking, but just making, just like, you know, the old make out and put stuff in stuff.
You know, I don't know. Like, does,
you're like, that's not my
it's
realm.
Just, but it's just like, does this sound, is that sexy for people that are just like making out and heavy petting? I don't know. Maybe it is. I think it's definitely useful for oral sex because your faces are far away from each other. Mm-hmm. So again, for communication, that's really useful. Mm-hmm.
But then that would be a training session, but there wouldn't necessarily be a trigger. You would just be marking when you like something.
Right.
Okay, so that's...
But the trigger is go down on me. I mean, isn't that the trigger is that you've set up, want an orgasm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or...
Good point.
Lick me. Or whatever you say.
Lick me.
Lick me.
In whatever accent from old Hollywood you want to use.
Yeah, right.
Darling, lick me. Just looking at my notes, making sure... Yeah, okay. We're covering a lot of the good stuff.
Yeah. So I think that... Look, if you're clicker training for sexual happiness, that's a kink. You have stepped out of the realm of vanilla and normal. So, sorry, folks.
There is no normal, Miss Holly.
Okay, fine. You're right. There actually is no normal. But if you're clicker training for sexual happiness, that...
It's a niche.
Whether you think kink is weird or not, it does put you in a niche group of people. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, whether that's just to achieve orgasms or, you know, put your cell phone in the right place, like, that is a really different way of living.
Right. I mean, I think that it could, it just seems playful to me. Like, it doesn't seem, it doesn't really bring out my puppy. Like, I'm not necessarily have any interest in exploring this in a puppy kind of way.
Yeah, but you haven't played with it yet, right?
Right.
You haven't been trained as a puppy.
No,
way.
I'd rather be trained as a human.
You'd rather train as a human.
Yeah, because I'm more... Because I attended your class because I'm like...
Yeah.
This seems great for my life. and then I was like, you're so delightful. I must interview you. So for me, it's more... I mean, I'm a total people pleaser, especially partners.
Yep.
And I like knowing when I've done a good job.
Yeah.
And so when I'm hearing this about... Okay, so you there's the training session. You can also have... in just oral sex, being able to communicate, good job. Orgasm denial, can you click to orgasm on cue? Is that something you can train?
So it wouldn't be the click.
Right, because then the click would become the trigger.
Right, so you would want a trigger word, like, or a trigger phrase, like, come for me would be a good trigger phrase. Yeah, back in my youth... in my day, you know, that kind of conditioning has been around for a long time. So I was conditioned to come on command for a couple of different people.
How do you do that? We did cover that a little bit in erotic hypnosis, that episode, but we barely, I mean, but it's...
Well, you can do it with a clicker.
Like how, so...
So what you do is you get someone to... a space of orgasm. So you get them right on the edge of orgasm. As they're orgasming, you say, come for me. And as they're orgasming, you click. And then they have an orgasm. Well, that's a pretty positive reinforcement, yo. Right?
So you can start by saying it as they're orgasming and then click. So you'd say, come for me, click.
Yeah, like as it's happening.
Got it.
And then with the idea of fading it out, and so then you build it up. So eventually you say, come for me, they come. Then
you
click.
Mean fade it out.
So you're fading. Oh, in this case, you would be fading out the building up to orgasm.
Oh, so they're less and less aroused. There's less and less prep work.
Yes.
Okay. And if.
Because orgasm is a lot mental.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a lot mental.
It's a lot mental.
It's a lot mental. It really is.
Does this mean. Now, if you. Okay, so they're orgasming and you click. You say, come for me when you know they're almost there, and they click. Or maybe are they allowed to like let you know, like, hey, I'm going to come soon? And that way you can say, come for me.
Right.
And then...
Although, you should know when your partner is about to come. But sometimes people are tricky. Sneaky orgasms.
Yeah, I would say that...
Do most people have sneaky orgasms?
But it takes a while to map, you know, are we 10 seconds out? Are we 5 seconds out? Are we point of no return?
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, and that all depends on where you're at in your life and everything. But if I'm, like, conditioning someone to come on command, mm-hmm. I want to know who they are mm-hmm. first. mm-hmm. So I usually have a pretty intimate relationship mm-hmm. with that person. I know what their tells are, mm-hmm. whether they start like shoulder starts spasming or starts twitching. I mean, there's mm-hmm. the really fun thing about all of this is that you do get very in depth and you mm-hmm. understand like what makes your person mm-hmm. tick, and you start watching for those tells.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing that you've had people ask, like, where you've worked with people. I mean, you have experience being trained to come on command.
Yes.
And you've trained others.
Yes.
But wait, this is even pre-clicker life.
Pre-clicker life.
So were they just like, hey, come for me. And then you did it and they're like, great job, you.
Yeah. Basically. But
so there's just no click. It was the same
no
kind
click,
of.
So we're missing the click. Mm-hmm. But the thing about the click is the click speeds it up. The click speeds it up.
Mm-hmm. That marks it so
marks it.
Accurately.
Marks that moment. And then that amygdala, that lizard brain is like, fuck yes.
Just starts drooling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give it to me.
Serotonin diet.
Dump.
Yeah. Mm. It's like ecstasy.
Yummy.
It's like the cheapest form of ecstasy.
Pretty much. Mm. Yeah. No drugs. Except for your own brain.
It's amazing. So, okay. Coming on command, which is fascinating. So slowly, earlier and earlier in the erotic arousal period, you say, come for me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I know my partner seems to be hovering around like the high, like it's like the plateau zone.
Yeah.
But I know a few extra diddles and they could get there. And I say, come for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then they kind of get in their head or they get distracted or and it doesn't happen. Does that mean I need to back up a step and do a come for me closer to orgasm?
Basically, it's the three fail rule. So mm-hmm. something hasn't worked three times, take a step back.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, if it doesn't work, take a step back.
Get closer to orgasm. Oh, man, so many orgasms.
Closer to orgasm.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. Bring in... I don't know, more vibrations.
Mm-hmm. We've been talking for a while. You realize I'm having so much fun.
We're chatting. Oh my gosh, we're totally talking.
Oh my God, clicker training, BDSM.
It's so kinky and fun.
Domestic fetishization. Ah.
Yeah.
You know, just regular talk.
Normal girl stuff.
Okay, wait. So I'm thinking, where can people learn more about this, since this seems so rare, and you are an explorer. You're a, what is that word when people are, you're an inventor. You're a,
yes, a diamond in the rough.
You're more than a diamond in the rough.
Yeah. Pioneer.
A pioneer. There
yes.
we are. You're a pioneer in clicker training.
Move those wagons
humans.
Westward. Let's do it. Yeah. So I'm on FetLife.
Mm-hmm.
Miss Holly, all one word, MissHolly, Miss Holly.
Mm-hmm.
Message me. I'd love to chat with you. And message me before you friend me. You can friend me, but, you know, I love messages. Mm-hmm. And then there's also a group, Click Happy,
mm-hmm.
on FetLife. If you, like, do a general search for Click Happy, we're, like, the last group on the second page. It's super sad. I don't know why.
Aww.
Whatever, FetLife algorithm. Go search for it. We're the only group actually named Click Happy. So.
But it still takes two pages to get to you?
I think it's because there's like 15 people right now.
I see.
But we should definitely make that more people.
Are you the teacher and this group is everybody who comes to your classes? Like, what is this?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Or people that have found it and are interested and mm-hmm. we've chatted and I've said, hey, join the group. You can find out when the next class is.
Mm-hmm. You need a Click Happy group on Meetup. There's a lot of kinky,
yeah,
sexy people up on there.
That's true. Meetup. Meetup.com.
It might be a little confusing, though, because there's a lot of dog training groups on there.
Perfect.
That meet up at parks.
I really want them to come to our class.
Just bring a German Shepherd walks in. You're like,
No. No, I just want the trainers to come. Like, mm-hmm. I just want the dog people because, honestly, like, dog people would get this so much. It's not even funny.
It's not funny. No laughing allowed.
No.
Shit.
Oops. Yeah.
No clicks for you.
Click, no. Click. No click.
Zap.
Positive punishment.
Right. That was interesting. I didn't know about all that. Is there anything that you wish everyone knew about this?
It's easy.
It's easy?
Yeah.
This is not real. Because it feels like, oh no, there's danger. And what if I mess up?
Nah, super easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, once you get the concepts.
How much time do you suggest a couple put in, like, in a session to, if
they
have a goal?
You don't want to train for more than 10, 20 minutes at a time.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, like, if I'm working one-on-one with a couple, and I do offer one-on-one sessions, it'd be, like, an hour, but a lot of that is us sitting and chatting and creating goals and stuff. The actual training should be around 10 minutes at a time.
Okay. So, yeah. It's just 10 minutes. It's like, you want a six-pack? 10 minutes a day. Do sit-ups or whatever. Or you could just click train your partner and have hot sex and forget about that.
Actually, you could click train your partner to do sit-ups.
I need this.
I know. See, you need this in your life. Well, clicker training is used a lot with athletes.
What?
Yeah, so athletes and children with autism. So golfers to get the perfect golf swing, ballet dancers.
Oh, so the trainers will just, and the minute they get
because,
it right.
Because it's about getting your physical body in the correct place.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, you could, for all the workout fetishists.
Wait, no, I really need to work out more. So how do I have some dom, sexy person in my life do this?
Well, they would need to know what the correct position is for you to be achieving the perfect, I don't know, Pilates, like 1,000 or something. And then, yeah, when you achieve that, you get a click.
I think it can be like, it's ab time. And then I know, like, and once I do, I don't know, like, cold shaping, like, I don't know how many they want me to do.
Right. So you just keep going.
Is
forever.
It like, is that
amazing? But basically, I mean, is this any different than going to, you know, a Pilates class or any aerobics class where they say, okay, now march up and down for, you know, I mean, it is the same idea, except for now we're adding a click and we're making it better.
Yeah.
For your
brain. I don't get it. It just seems like I'm trying to keep up when I go to those classes. I'm not necessarily feeling like, yeah, I did a good job. It's more at the end when I go, oh, thank God, this is over with. Well, I need a brownie.
Right. So then this would be more like personal training. It's that one-on-one. Mm-hmm. It does make it more intimate, which again gets us into more sexy territory.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yay, you achieved your 20 crunches. Let's go fuck.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. It's all very interesting. Because then out after training session, I guess it's do you have your partner have a trigger word, or do you just have the constant urge to do sit-ups to please them when you're around them?
Right. Is that a bad thing? I don't know.
It just seems like you can go either way, right?
Right, yeah. But funny. I think you'd want to establish that. That's part of the communication aspect of
it. Or you have to talk.
Yeah.
Okay.
There is some talking involved.
This has been so marvelous. I love this so much. So people can find you on FetLife at Miss Holly.
Yes.
You can find your group Click Happy on the second page when they
Look way
up
in
Click
there.
Happy.
Keep looking. You'll find it.
Two words, one word.
Two words.
Two
Click
words.
Happy. And there's a little TM trademark. Da-da-da.
And then your website is magicintheworld.com. And if they do / Click Happy.
Yep.
They can find.
They totally will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because magic in the world, because you are. A witch.
I am. I'm very witchy. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
wait,
that's
are
different.
You a witch or witchy?
Oh, I am a witch, yeah.
Are you a Jew or are you Jewish?
Young Jewish. Okay. Jewish. Irish Jewish.
Perfect. Perfect combo.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Witchy.
Well, now I just want to check you out on magicintheworld.com.
Yeah, you get to see all the magical stuff.
Can I call you Holly, or do we need to call you Miss Holly? How does it work? I don't know.
Miss Holly's good.
Miss Holly? Miss Holly. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh my God. You are definitely on Team Fun.
Yay.
Which is a thing that we say here. So thank you. All right. Everyone, no brainwashing except the fun kind. Consent in all things. Be careful out there. Goodbye. Bye, Miss Holly.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.